Seven blessings, everybody. Can you hear me okay? We had a little mishap last week with this microphone. Yes? Okay, good. About 10 seconds, that furnace is going to turn off, so that noise will go away. For those of you that are hearing a loud, rushing wind, you got a 4-ton blower on that furnace. All right, if you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we trust you, we worship you, and we love you. We thank you for giving us those things that we need to live and to share our faith with others. Thank you for blessing us with answered prayer and for giving us those things that allow us to see you glorified. Thank you for using us and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and glorify you like no other. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list, Father, that you bless them in the ways that you promised, especially those that are lost in salvation. We thank you for the healings that we receive, the trials and the tribs and the good times, and all the wonderful things that you're allowing to happen, so that we get that much closer to you. Thank you for blessing today's gathering, giving us new showbread today on Sabbath. And thank you for blessing us with an opportunity to share what we learned today with others. In Jesus' name we pray. And we're still in manuscripts and letters of the last day events. For those of you that don't have the book, it's going to pop up in the room in a second. If Joshua's near the computer, I don't know if he is. Over there in California. We'll be discussing the Christmas thing for the sermon. Okay, so the PMs and that, those of you that are sending PMs, that's for the sermon. That's about a half an hour from now. Okay, Josh, well then you know what to do. Everybody needs to go to the book. Run away. You're not a moderator right now. Okay, never mind. We'll do it. Here, you gotta, 13. F2 for everybody. Okay, that's right. You probably can notice the sound quality is considerably better than it's been in the last few weeks. Actually, 2 or 3 months, actually. It's about 2 or 3 months that we had to move the audio chat into a server in our home because the other audio chat was bought out or something, and they wanted us to use a different software that was all loaded with bugs and stuff. And so we opted to go back to the old stuff, but we had to put it on our own server, and we had a lousy bandwidth, but now we have the T1. It is running, so everything's going great. That's why you notice that sound quality is that much better, and it'll be a little bit more stable, we've been noticing, too. Now, people with dial-up, if you have something wrong with your dial-up connection, or if you have something wrong with your DSL, like a bad filter, you're still going to have a shaky connection. There's nothing that I can do about that, but the rest, mostly dial-up has no problem with this, Or if you're like on a Wi-Fi thing, like Dick and Elena, time and again, will go places for Sabbath to park the truck, and they hit a Wi-Fi signal that's not very powerful, and it has a tendency to break up. So they might still have trouble, but less probably. All right, I think we're on manuscript 139. Is that the one we're on? Is that the yellow one on the top, 139? Yeah. Okay. All right. The present time will bring dangers which we must individually be prepared to meet. Get that individually. This is a personal relationship we have with Christ, and it's also a personal preparation in this time of trouble that we're about to go into. And so just because you're part of a church or part of a family that is believing, if you are not a believer, you can't ride their peace. It's just like with the five foolish virgins asking for the oil, and their lamps are going out, and the other, oil, as we know, in prophecy means Holy Spirit. And so how can they purchase it from somebody else? They can't do it. They had to go and get it on their own. That's why they missed the wedding feast. You got to be prepared. You got to have your lamps fully trimmed. Continuing. The Lord has a work which is above the world's seeking. To those who have not the mind of Christ, the features of our faith and our work, the great object to be accomplished, is far above their comprehension and unseen. But we are not to come down from our position of ever remaining people. Wait, let me reread that. But we are not to come down from our position of ever remaining people, distinct and peculiar from the world. Our vocation is high, holy, and elevated. Our faith is appreciated. We'll keep all true believers from political strife. We are to work for the spiritual recovery of mankind to God, to bring them under His theocracy. Then only are we a safe people. The fires of the last day will consume many souls who might have been saved if the church had but comprehended her sacred responsibilities. And church here is, when a prophet speaks church, and that's what she's doing here, it's not so much a denomination, because the word church is actually the bride of Christ. It is the called out ones. It is a gathering of the faithful, the brethren. It's not a building. It's not a name like Seventh-day Adventist or Roman Catholic or Methodist or Lutheran, whatever the case may be. We have a responsibility, whether we're in a structured body of believers or when we're out there on our own looking for a structured body of believers. A believer is a believer. Next one is manuscript 151, 1897, and it says, peculiar and rapid changes will soon take place. And if the church is not asleep, if the followers of Christ watch and pray, they may have light to comprehend and appreciate the movements of the enemy. And if you want an idea of how rapid things can change, we all saw the differences in the freedoms of the United States of America changing from September 10th to September 12th. Because of what happened on September 11th. They drastically changed a lot of things. And a lot of it is stealthy change. You know, it's a lot of stuff is like things that we don't really realize they have the legal right to do now behind closed doors. Like everything from tapping your phone or stepping into your house without a search warrant. They can do these things now. And a lot of people don't realize it because they're not, you know, banging down their door and going through their house or listening in on your phone calls. So you think. But now that they've got those powers, it's going to get a lot worse. But you always got to keep in mind, people, I know because a lot of people will get a little bit worried and, you know, and scared and stuff like that. There's no reason. We have peace in Christ. We have no, you know, he told us the stuff was going to happen in advance, and so we just have to be prepared, that's all. And you also have to keep in mind when these people, if they do make it to your home and break down your door and go through your house without search warrants and throw you behind bars without any charges against you and not having the file charges either. That's another new law. Keep in mind that they're just humans. They're being moved by a different God, the God of this world, Satan. And if they would have known, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So it's a lot easier to have love for them when you realize that. You can still smile. Or you could still say, as Stephen did when they were stoning him, or as our Lord said, forgive them for they know not what they do, because they really don't know. You can't hold it against them. They can be as evil and hateful and hit you upside the head with the butt of their gun if they want. They can do whatever they want. They can be as disgustingly evil and even kill you. But they really don't know what they're doing. So don't blame them. They've just chosen a lesser God. A God that will die. How he's called a God is beyond me, because he really has nothing to offer. But the world calls him that. So, anyway, manuscript 161. December 16th, 1897. It says, let me move this. pulpit a little bit here. I'm on a squeaky nail. All right, it says, it is the glory of God to be merciful, full of forbearance, kindness, goodness, and truth. But the justice shown in punishing the sinner for his iniquity is as verily the glory of the Lord as in the manifestations of his mercy. It's just like with the altar of burnt offering, the grate on the altar of burnt offering, when you step into the sanctuary, is the exact same height as the mercy seat in the Most Holy. In other words, his justice is at the exact same level as his mercy. He has just as much overwhelming justice as he does have overwhelming mercy. So you can't say he's treating you a little bit more better or bad, whatever situation you're going through. You can't say the Lord is, you know, sending a little bit more trials and tribulations or good times to you than the next guy. The mercy and the justice are going to be the same. He's a perfect God. We're the ones that are always found wanting. We're always the ones that are always tipping the scales. All right. The Lord has sent us, by his ambassadors, messages of warning declaring that the end of all things is at hand. Some will listen to these warnings, but the vast majority will disregard the warnings. When Lot warned the members of his family of the destruction of Sodom, they would not heed his words, but looked upon him as a fanatical enthusiast. Now this reminds me of what we went through as a family, trying to share with our Catholic siblings the dangers there. We became fanatics. I mean, we became the butt of every joke. And so this is, and a lot of you know what I'm talking about, because a lot of you have brethren that are Catholics or Seventh-day Adventists, and you're trying to warn them of the danger they're in. And the reason I mentioned Catholics or Seventh-day Adventists, because Catholicism has all those spin-offs into all these different denominations that are all more or less born of Catholicism. And now Seventh-day Adventists, the Adventism has the same spin-offs. You've got a bunch of these weird spin-offs and stuff like that that have gone out there that are more or less from Adventism. And that's why I mentioned those two, because those are the two major problems in today's world in the church anyway. Of course, Catholicism started off bad with the ideals of Simon Magus, but the Seventh-day Adventist Church at one time was walking correctly, and it was infiltrated. It still carries the name, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, I know a lot of people that claim Christ as Lord, and they were born again, and they were baptized, and they had all these wonderful blessings, and then 10 years later, you walk into them and run up to them, and they're still claiming Jesus Christ Lord, but all you can tell by their fruits, they're not. It's just like, it kind of reminds me of that one, what was the guy's name that painted The Last Supper? Does anybody know the man's name? Is that Michelangelo, or is that, I think it was Michelangelo, wasn't it? Does anybody know in the audio room?
Angelo.
It was Angelo?
Yeah, Michelangelo.
It was? Okay. Judging by the man's work, we all know that he was gifted in that respect, the way his artwork was. And gifted as he was, he had, like most artists would do, when you're doing portraits, it'll take you a long time to do a portrait. All right? Because, you know, you got to have a model. A lot of artists like to use models, so they have, you know, a person sitting right there to, you know, get the shadows and get everything perfect, you know. They still do that to this day. I've done it with portraits myself when I used to do portraits. But when he was doing The Last Supper, he's got to paint 13 portraits. Right? Some of those portraits could take a year for each one. When he wanted to do the face of Christ, he was looking for someone who had absolute innocence in the face. The world had not yet gotten to the person. And so he used this one particular man, and of course, as you're doing it for like maybe 6 months to a year to be a model. Because you got to do it for only a couple hours a day with a certain northern light coming in on windows or whatever. You got to have it in the same, you know, otherwise, because if you keep on going throughout the day, the lighting's going to be off. You're going to have, the shadows going to meld into each other. That's why it would take so long to do portraits. Oh, it was Da Vinci? Leonardo da Vinci, and I'm not even pushing the Da Vinci Code. Don't get started there. Anyway, all right, so he paints the face of Jesus, right? And then he goes and he paints this guy and this guy, all the other apostles, and he's finally getting to Judas. Now he needs another, person to do Judas, but he wants someone who is totally, in the face you can see the evil. You can see the world has gotten to the person in the face. And so he finds this one model, as like usual, they're 6 months or a year, he's doing it, and they have conversations just like any other time. And the model told him, after a while, I guess, he says, I've been here before. He says, what do you mean? He says, you've used me as a model once before. He goes, oh, really? He says, yeah, you had me, you used me for the face of Christ. Same person, folks. Totally different. Just like same church. Totally different. It may carry the name. It may carry the same exact name and still appear to have the same ideals, but when you look at what's really going on, if you have eyes that see, you know what you're looking at. Continuing, it says, the destruction that came found them unprepared. This it will be when Christ comes. Farmers, merchants, lawyers, tradesmen will be wholly engrossed in business, and upon them the day of the Lord will come as a snare. But what is it? What do you see after that in verse 4 of that quote that she's coming out of in Thessalonians? But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief, because you do study your prophecies. And you'll be ready. You'll be prepared. You'll have enough oil in your lamp. Going on, it says, God works through his faithful servants who do not shun to declare the whole truth in the power of the Spirit. Do not shun to declare the whole truth. Okay, you're not ashamed to tell people you're a Christian, or you're not ashamed to say you embrace Sabbath. You're not ashamed to say you won't use the term Merry Christmas. We'll get into that later, of course. You're not ashamed to, there's a lot of people. I remember when I was, I praise the Lord for, when I was young, my dad had a zeal to do the right thing, and so I at a very early age, I was taught, for lack of a better word, it was cool to be a Christian, I looked at my dad as being cool, he had that way about him. And he was very religious. But usually in today's world, it's like people are embarrassed to say their religion. They don't want to, they especially are embarrassed to say the word or the name Jesus. God, that's okay. Everybody says God. No big deal. I remember one time some loved ones went to a church with us, and this was before I was a Sabbath keeper, and we went to this one church where the people were zealous in their faith. For years and years and years we had been going to Catholic churches, and I had left the Catholic church, and we went to this, I think it was a Christmas play or something like that, I don't even know what it was. And some of my loved ones were there that ordinarily would only go to Catholic churches, and when they came back, they made them very uncomfortable, because every time you turn around, someone would yell Amen from the crowd, or Praise the Lord, or Thank You Jesus, and stuff like that. That just makes them uncomfortable. And that's just the way the world teaches. It makes them totally unaware of where the real truth lies. Going on, God works through his faithful servants who do not shun to declare the whole truth in the power of the Spirit. God's messengers are to hold aloft the standard of truth until the hand is palsied in death. When they sleep in death, the places that once knew them know them no more. The churches in which they preached, the places they visited to hold forth the word of life, still remain. The mountains, the hills, the things seen by mortal vision are still there. All these things must at last pass away. The time is coming when the earth shall reel to and fro and shall be removed like a cottage. But the thoughts, the purposes, the acts of God's workers, although now unseen, will appear at the great day of final retribution and reward. Things now forgotten will then appear as witnesses either to approve or to condemn. Some of us like to call this the day of reckoning, or one day you'll remember these words, or it's kind of like with when you go out on the street and stuff and you share your faith with others and they scoff or they attack, or the things that you shared with them will come back to their remembrance. John 14:26 will apply to them as well on the great and dreadful day, because they're going to realize the Lord did send people to try and help them. and they shunned it. They blew it off. They ignored it. They joked. They scoffed. They did whatever they could because it was not cool to follow the creator of the planet they're standing on. That's amazing how the devil can turn people around. Going on, it says, in the day of judgment, the course of the man who has retained the frailty and imperfection of humanity will not be vindicated. For him, there will be no place in heaven. He could not enjoy the perfection of the saints in light. He who has not sufficient faith in Christ to believe that he can't keep him from sinning has not the faith that will give him an entrance into the kingdom of God. And that is a very powerful statement. If we're not saints down here now, we can't be saints there when that eastern sky splits. If we can't have that faith, if we don't have that sufficient faith and realization deep down inside that Jesus can stop us from sinning, and some of us know that this is true. Some of us have experimented with ourselves and found that if we give all to Christ and just totally give it into his hands and turn our backs and try to do the absolute perfect walk, it can be done. Sometimes you can do it for weeks on end. And all of a sudden, in a weak moment, we're stupid in the head. And then we got to repent and confess. And the nice thing is he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the fact of the matter is, some of us do see that he does help his children. And all of us know that as fact, but sometimes have forgotten. Because if you keep doing something that you know is wrong, it gets easier and easier and easier to do that. And the easier it becomes to sin, the harder it becomes to see his truth, to walk in his truth. Ask him. He will help you. And his yoke is easy. Where did I leave off? Let me see here. Okay. At this time, the message of mercy and warning is to go forth to awaken the world from its sleep of death. A work is to be done today that will live through the eternal ages as watchmen entrusted with a special message. We are to keep before the people the nearness of the end. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. The fast-fulfilling signs of the times declare that the great day of the Lord is right upon us. In that day shall it be said of any of us, this man was called by God, but he would not hear. He would not give heed. Again and again the Spirit moved upon his heart, but he said, go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24:25. This man saw the Savior's sacrifice in the beautiful light, but some matter or minor importance came in, and his heart was captivated. When the Spirit spoke again, the call was not respected. Every gracious heavenly influence was diminished. But the day will come, there'll be a reckoning. He'll see it. He'll understand it. Or she'll see it. Or she'll understand it. The opportunity was there. That's one of the amazing things about our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, the way it just tugs and tugs and tugs at the heart and keeps on trying. But there's coming a day when the censer is going to be thrown down and Jesus is going to say it's finished. He's not going to bother anymore. Whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust. Whoever's holy is going to remain holy. Letter 4, February 20th, 1898. Divisions will constantly arise. Unholy principles will be brought to the front. All classes will be called to take their stand on one side or the other. Christ says of one class, let them alone. Men who have so long trampled upon the rights of God, who have accepted the idol Sabbath, of course that being Sunday, will accept very strong and unreasonable beliefs. In other words, a strong delusion is sent them. Let them alone. Ephraim has been joined to his idols, it says in Scripture. Let them alone. Now, yes, we do go forth as watchmen. We do go with the three angels' message. We do proclaim it. And those who have eyes that see and ears that hear and hearts that have a desire to please their God will see what we're talking about and will step into the light with us. But those that want to debate, those that want to attack the truth, those that want to manipulate it and twist it around and have these big, long dissertations back and forth with you, try to get your blood up, hey, just let them alone. If they want to fight, let them go fight someplace else. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, you know, from such turn away. Don't mess with that, with people like that, because all they're going to do is try to get your blood up. And what did Jesus say about hating a man in your heart? It's no different than lusting a woman in your heart. You can commit adultery and you can commit murder in your heart. And that's what the devil wants you to do. And that's why he's got a lot of these people. I just got emails this morning, well, last night. A person asking me to clarify my stance on my crucifixion page, my Wednesday CUSA FICTION page. Not FIXION, you know, ION. In other words, I'm showing how Jesus was not crucified on a Wednesday. It just can't be. And he has this real long dissertation as to why he's, you know, in all these Bible verses out of context. And all I did is send him back one sentence. Please define the word high Sabbath. That's all I said. He comes back with LOL and a bunch of insults. And I just said, okay, that's it. That's all I needed to see. I'm not going to, you know, if you have no desire for the truth, if you want to start arguments and stuff like that, from such turn away, it says in the scriptures. Because all they're going to do is they're going to tempt you. Divisions will constantly arise, she said. And this is thereby how it happens. Okay, the next one is... Oh, let me finish this one. Hold on. Are people... No, it's not the form. Okay, hold on. Move over here. Are people falling out? Let's see how we can have a problem. We got a T1 running here. Well, I know that Creator was falling out earlier. Left and right, left and right. Creator servants. Okay, let me shut the forum down real quick just to see if that does it, because I don't know how many people are actually on the forum. So just give me a second here, folks. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're getting slammed pretty heavy on the forum, so let me shut it down. All right. That should help. If that doesn't, I just shut the forum down. So if that doesn't help, then it's not on our end. There's nothing we can do. If we got a bunch of people using, lousy dial-up or something like that. Plus, we got an awful lot of people in here today, don't we?
Yeah.
We already got over 30. And usually, we don't usually get over 30 or 35 over that until the church sort of starts. Now, let me finish this one and do the next tiny one, and the next big one we'll have to do next week. It's a big one. And I don't want to skip it. I'd like to start a study on a big one because that way we can get through it. Alright, so finishing up this one at letter 4, February 20th, it says, the Lord is not in the alliances that are being formed with political movements, Christian Coalition, or Worldwide Church, you know, the One World Church, that the Seventh-day Adventist Church joined, along with all the other churches, the Global Church. The Lord is not in alliances that are being formed with political movements. That one right there, we should just take that one little statement out and put it into the POGM forum in the SDA apostasy area. And I'll put it on the SDA apostasy site, too, to let people know. It says, look, we have evidence that the Seventh-day Adventist Church, along with all the other churches of the world, has joined the WWC. And this right here, if you are a Seventh-day Adventist and you claim Sister White to be a prophet, you will have a problem with this point. This is, by the way, folks, one of the reasons some Seventh-day Adventist churches are, in fact, burning Ellen White's writings. Because they can't get around some of these blunt statements, and so rather than try to keep on explaining these things, they're just burning books. All right, finishing up. The Lord is not in the alliances that are being formed with political movements. They are bound to bring confusion and great entanglement. The loyal and disloyal have no equal ground on which to meet. Can't be done. Light with darkness can't be done. Loyal with disloyal can't be done. Believer and unbeliever. Makes about as much sense as a penny. It can't be done. Next one, manuscript 64, May 19, 1998, says, at the 11th hour, the Lord will gather a company out of the world to serve him. Okay. Another one that we should put on the site. At the 11th hour. We know we're at the 11th hour. We understand the theology of Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, where it talks about early in the morning, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, 11th hour. We know all about this. We know we're in the 11th hour. And it says here the Lord will gather a company out of the Seventh-day Adventist church to serve him. No. It says out of the world. People are coming out of those churches. It says in Revelation 18 to come out. It doesn't say to stay in and form from within. There will be a converted ministry. Those who have privileges, or those who have had privileges and opportunities to become intelligent in regard to the truth, and yet who continue to counteract or counterwork the work, God would have accomplished, will be purged out. For God accepts the service of no man whose interest is divided. You can't serve God and man. You can't serve truth and lies. You can't mix light with darkness. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, it says in the scriptures. So either they're with 100%, can't be 99.9% for the truth. Either you are or you ain't. There are no gray areas here when it comes to truth. One of the beautiful things about truth, you can rely on it. See, that's what attracted me at an early age when I started getting into the scriptures. I thought, there's got to be something in this world. Because every time I turn around, I'm being disappointed with, you know, loved ones treating you bad. Or when I was a little kid, up until I became a teenager, every time I turn around, some friends that I thought were friends were all of a sudden beating the daylights out of me. And, you know, every time... I was always being let down here, let down there. Every time you thought you had something going on here that was good, it turns around and shows its ugly face. But truth can never do that. Truth is always there. You always got that barometer. It's always solid as a rock. He accepts the whole heart or none. Either all of it or none of it. It's just like with the Ten Commandments. You break one jot, one tittle, you're guilty of breaking them all. See, a lot of people in the world don't realize that keeping 9 out of 10 does not mean you get to go into heaven because you've got a majority of good things going on in life. You know? One jot, one tittle. I mean, if you don't cross a T or dot an I in the law that you're, you know, embracing, then you're none of his. He accepts the whole heart or none. The world and unconverted church members are in sympathy. Sympathy. All right, let's leave it off here. We'll pick it up again next week at letter 65, August 23rd. Did turning off the forum help?
Some are still falling out.
So then it's now, are they on dial up? You know, let me just.
Could it?
Hold on. Let me turn off the.
When one falls out, another, and it can't go with one. It just seems like it's not going over 41. Mm-hmm. And that's like when 41 comes in, one drops out.